He knows my name. Again, may the Lord richly bless you for everything that you've done for us, and all the food that's been made, brought, given, and everything has just been wonderful. May the Lord richly bless you for it. For the offerings, may the Lord richly bless you for your giving. I know that He will. Jeremiah chapter 8, I could say a lot of other things in preliminary, especially on the last morning of a meeting. We start revival tonight in Hamilton, Ohio, so I don't have far to go, but I just keep going. And Brother Brian, a while ago, come in griping about being tired, and I ran him over right good. I said, I haven't slept in my own bed since the last week of December. Don't talk to me about being tired. Amen. And then he gets to go home tomorrow and go to bed, and I go to preach. So I told him to be quiet. He said he'd move across the room away from me. I think he wanted to hear any more there. But you pray for us that the Lord would bless us in our endeavors there. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 18. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Question: is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past and the summer is ended and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Psalms chapter 41 and verse number 7. All that hate me whisper together against me, and against me do they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him, and now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Lord, I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost this morning. Lord, I'm asking you by the power of the Holy Ghost to touch my lips of clay. Would you touch this congregation? Would you let the anointing of the Holy Ghost rest on them and then around this altar? Lord, would you change somebody's life in Jesus' wonderful name? And everyone said, amen. Thank you for honoring the Word of God. Is there no balm in Gilead? And is there no physician there? I want to preach this morning for just a little while on wounds that will not heal. Wounds that will not heal. I'd felt this earlier in the meeting, and I'm just going to tell you right up front, this is something that I have preached before. One of the few times in my ministry that I remember, maybe one other time, I remember Sister Darla coming to me and saying, I feel like you need to preach something. And I'd already felt it. And she came to me 2 days ago and said, I feel like you need to preach this message. So I'm going to go on what I felt and she felt and what I feel from the Holy Ghost and preach to you, if that's all right, this morning. You know, it would be a wonderful thing if we lived in a perfect world where there was nobody that ever got hurt. That would be a fairy tale, because we're living in a world that's full of sin, and Satan and his plan has come on the world and it has caused things to be haywire, if you'll allow me to use that terminology. And because of that, you're probably not going to go very far into your life and before something's going to happen that will wound you. I have listened through the years to children on the playground say something that is totally untrue. They stick out their tongue and put their fingers in their ears and waggle their hands up and down and holler, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And that child that's saying that, I've seen that same child in just a few minutes in a corner of the playground with tears running down its little face, because that's really not so. Hello? I said that's really not so, because things that are said and things that are done, even from a child, can wound us. From you know, children are some of the most cruel people that there are. And people get wounded even from a child. And, you know, wounds are interesting. You're going to get them. I'm not talking about a superficial wound that you get from falling down or having some sort of wreck. I'm talking about wounds that get inside of people, in people's lives and their hearts, and gets wounds in their mind, and they just can't seem to get them healed up. You know, I want to talk to you about this. In Psalms, the writer said, listen, all that hate me whisper together against me. Isn't it interesting when you find someone that has been wounded in their spirit, that any time they see someone else in private conversation, they think they're talking about them? You might as well say amen. Well, any time that they see someone over here talking together and in a private conversation, it can even be the pastor and somebody, but because they can't hear the conversation, and because they have a wound inside their own heart, they automatically think from that wound. And they think, they're over there talking about me. They're talking about me right now. David said, those that hate me are whispering together against me. I want to talk to you first about the way that our words will wound people. There's people under the sound of my voice that have been wounded by the words that have come out of somebody else's mouth. Whether they were true or untrue, we can be cruel sometimes in saying, it was true. Well, everything that's true don't need to be said. A man kept coming to Brother. How many know Brother Hill here? Do you know Brother William Hill? How many knows Brother Hill here? A man kept coming to Brother Hill in his church and telling him, you need to go tell this person this. And Brother Hill kept saying, No, I don't. And the man said one day, he became very exasperated. He said, but it's the truth, and you need to go tell them because it's the truth. And Brother Hill said, you don't always tell people the truth. You just don't say anything at all. Don't lie to them. That's not what I said. You just keep your mouth shut. And the guy said, no, if it's true, you need to say it. And that preacher said, and Brother Hill said, well, you really feel that way? And he said, yeah. He said, your wife's very fat. And she was. And then God said, how dare you say that? He said, it was the truth. Did you want to hear it? So just because something is the truth, or something we know is the truth, doesn't mean we need to say what we know even to be the truth. But do you know what? In the house of God, I have watched entire churches get torn apart by the words that was coming out of people's mouths, and they were wounding other people in the house of God. You might as well say amen. There's been more phone conversations that went on that were out of the will of God, that people became wounded by things that was coming out of other people's mouths, by something that was said, by an accusation. I want to tell you something. The thoughtless, malicious gossip has opened wounds in the heart of people that just can't seem to get healed up. I'm going to tell you something. It's kind of like the lady that went to the preacher and said, I've said all these things, and I wish I hadn't have said them. And now I'd love to know what I can do to fix it. How many remember what he did when he cut the pillow open and he spread the feathers out all over the yard? And he said, now pick them all up. She said, well, I can't. They're blown everywhere. He said, you can't take your words back either. You can't gather all of them back in. Yet there's people under the sound of my voice this morning. You've been wounded by words that have come out of other people's mouths.
It makes it hard for you to worship sometimes. It makes it hard for you to raise your hand sometimes, because when you come to the house of God, the devil is always reminding you of a wound that you have. I hope the Lord will help me here. Oh my, not only are we wounded by words, but I'm going to tell you, some of the worst wounds that we get are from our friends. You see, if the checker down at Walmart this morning started a story on me, it wouldn't really bother me that much, because I don't know the checker down at Walmart. If the lady down at the grocery store said something mean to me, it would probably just roll off my back, because she's not a part of my life. She don't even know who I am, and I can just chalk that up to her having a bad day. But David said, mine old familiar friend, it was somebody that was close to me. It was somebody that I trusted. It was somebody I thought I could depend on, and they turned their back on me. And in a time when I thought that I needed a friend, and I thought they were my friend, I found out they really weren't my friend. There's people under the sound of my voice, oh God, help me to preach, that have been wounded by people that you thought you could trust.
You've been wounded by people you should have been able to have trusted. The one you thought would never let you down. The person you thought that relationship was going to last forever. Today you look and there's no relationship there. And there's a wound inside of you. And it's hard to get over. Hello? There's people under the sound of my voice right now that you've been wounded by people that you should have been able to have trusted. People that should have been a safe haven to you. People that should have been somebody you could run to in a time of trouble, and they could have gathered you up on their knee. They wounded you. And you're so wounded emotionally, you can't hardly function. Oh, Lord, help me. We've got way too quiet. You ought to be praying for me is what you ought to be doing. Hello? People that's got wounded in areas in their heart, in their mind, in their life. My God, help me right now. You wouldn't believe some of the stories that I have been told. One night when I was pastoring, a man brought his wife. They came to my house and they sat down in my living room, and she told me one of the most horrific stories of abuse that I had ever heard in my life. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. I really didn't even want to hear it, but when you're in that position, that's just part of what goes with the territory. And I remember listening to it, and inside I was tore up. I wasn't letting out as much how tore up I was, but I was hurting because she was hurting, because somebody she should have been able to trust hurt her. And now years later, she's still not functioning correctly in her married life and in every other portion of her life, because she was wounded by somebody she thought she should have been able to have trusted, and she should have been able to have trusted them. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not here to downplay your wound this morning. I'm not here to tell you you have not been wounded. I'm not here to tell you you shouldn't feel like that. That's not why I came. I just came to tell you there is a position and there is a balm in Gilead. Hallelujah. I just came to tell you there's somebody that knows how to fix what's tore up inside of you. Can you say amen? I remember that night sitting there in my living room when all of a sudden I felt that unction from the Lord, Brother Heath, that it's time to pray now. I remember I looked at that lady. She was weeping. Her husband was weeping. I was crying with them. She was uncovering things I think some of them he didn't even know about. I told her, I said, kneel down right there. I looked at him and I said, you lay hands on her. I looked at her husband. I got up, laid hands on both of them. I'm going to tell
you, the power of the Holy Ghost fell in that house. I've never felt it more strong in a church service anywhere as I felt it in that house that night. As the power of the Holy Ghost reached in there and wrapped his arms around them, I'm going to tell you there is a healing for you. You've just got to let Jesus do it. You can't figure it out. You can't rationalize it. A psychologist can't work you through it. Brother, I'm going to tell you there's only one healer to the wounds that are in our heart, our spirits, and our mind, and his name is Jesus. Can anybody say amen to this preacher? I said his name is Jesus. But you see, it's my friend, you've been wounded by circumstances that were outside of your control. They were just, you couldn't do anything about it. We get uncomfortable sometimes when a preacher starts preaching like this, but I'm going to tell you, we're living in a sick world. You hear me? And it would blow your mind, some of the people under the sound of my voice right now that have wounds you don't know anything about, that causes them problems all the time. And there's times you think you've got over it, and there's times you think you got beyond it, and then a circumstance arises and all of a sudden the scab's off and you're bleeding again and you're hurting again and you're crying on your pillow again, oh God, and you're wanting somebody, and you say, I can't talk to anybody, and there's nobody that will understand. I know somebody that does, amen. I said, I know somebody that does. Jesus knows all about your trouble. Jesus knows where you're at. He knows how you're hurting, and better than that, he knows how to fix it. Circumstances. Sister Savage, I remember just as a child being in Brother and Sister Savage's house. Randy and his wife, that's Brother Savage's son, his wife was living there. And so, and just, I've always loved children even when I was young. And so I was close to them. I remember holding revival there and sleeping on a cot in the basement and waking up. And I was about Cheyenne's age, probably 12. I was probably 12. And I can remember waking up a lot of mornings, and there would be a little bitty hand patting me on the face. And I'd pick that little baby girl up. She was about 2 or 3. And she'd crawl into bed and sleep the next 2 or 3 hours till we got up. I was close to them. That's what I'm trying to tell you. When that gunman stuck that pistol in that young lady, that gang-related crime in Florida, stuck that pistol in that phone booth and blew Randy Savage into eternity. And it came to getting time for the trial. And Sister Savage said, I want to go down there. She said, I don't want to go down there for the trial. You know what she did? She went down there. She said, because I want to go down there and I want to tell that girl that Jesus loves her. I've got a wound. She killed my boy. That's out of my control. I can't do anything about it. But I've let God do such a work in me that I want to go talk to her because I don't want her to go to hell. And she got the opportunity to sit down and look at that young lady that had taken her own son's life and tell her about Jesus and that Jesus loved her. And she didn't have to live like that. I'm going to tell you, that's not humanly possible unless God gets in your heart. I hope somebody will help me. I'm going to tell you, unless you let God put the bomb on you, you say, you don't understand how I've been wounded. You don't understand how I've been hurt. You don't understand what they've done. I don't understand it. I'm not trying to say I do. I just know the Lord wants to heal your wound, and I know he can do it. Can you say amen? Circumstances beyond your control. Wounded in your heart. Think about it every day. Can't hardly get on beyond it.
But I'm preaching to you on wounds that will not heal. And I want to talk to you just a few minutes before I let you go about the reasons that your wound won't heal. First reason the wound won't heal is because you keep scorning the physician. Jesus is the only one that can heal it. But you've got to bring the wound to the doctor. Oh, God, help me. I said, you've got to bring the wound to the... You will not use the balm. How many's ever had a deep cut or wound that you had the doctor pretty constantly to keep it? Anybody? And the doctor, you went to the doctor and the doctor said, okay, we're going to sew this up and we're going to wrap it up. But when you unwrap it, you take this and you put this infective cream on there. You make sure that's going to keep the infection out. And you know what? We come to the house of God and the Spirit of God moves and God's standing at the altar saying, I got the balm. I got it all ready for you. I'm waiting right here. And we walk out the door as wounded as when we came in because we wouldn't go to the doctor and say, look, I've got this wound. I tried to get over it. I thought it would heal itself. I thought time would take care of it, but it didn't take care of it. And now I need something that's outside of my old power. I come to tell somebody this morning, if you want to be healed, it's going to be something outside of your power. You're not going to be able to rationalize it. Time's not going to take it away. But I tell you, I know a physician that has healing in his hands. Amen. And he can heal your wound. Listen to this. When God would heal you, you are so intent on holding on to your hurt that you turn Him away. You're so intent on what has already happened to you in your life that you won't give God a chance to take care of the wound. I remember one night I was preaching in Kentucky, and I'm hurrying. And there was a man, and I don't do this a lot. It's just not my characteristics. I will if God tells me. But there was a man sitting back in this part of the congregation that at my altar call, the Spirit of God told me, you go back here and invite him personally to come to the altar. So I put the microphone down and I walked down the aisle, and I could tell sin had ravaged him up pretty good, pretty bad, should have been the right terminology. And I said, sir, the Holy Ghost spoke to me to come back here and to give you a personal invitation to come to the altar. He said, preacher, I'm just not interested. He said, I've been hurt so many times. I've tried so many things. He said, there's nothing that works. He said, I've tried everything you can try and nothing works. I said, really? Man, he started naming things he had tried. He named drugs I'd never even heard of. He named all kinds of things. I mean, he had tried the devil and witchcraft and drugs and alcohol and women and buddy, I mean, he went down the list of things he had tried. He said, I tried everything, and there's nothing that brings me happiness, and there's nothing that gives me peace inside. And I looked at him, Brother Hurst, and I said, everything. I said, I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. I said, it'd be totally crazy for a man to say he tried everything and to leave one thing untried. If you've tried everything else, wouldn't it seem kind of crazy to leave one thing untried? He said, yeah, I guess it would. I said, why don't you try Jesus? He said, I ain't never thought of it like that. I believe I will. And he fell down, and he started praying. How many knows what happened? Amen, amen. Jesus came walking in. After a while, he looked up, and his eyes got big, and he said, my God, I ain't ever tried anything like this before. Why was it he came to the physician, and the physician had the power to heal his wound? But our wounds won't heal because we won't use the balm. You know what we want to do? We want to do what they do on the emergency crews. We want to put a little super glue on it.
Just make it hold together momentarily. Make you think I'm okay. Make you think everything's fine. And every time we come to the house of God, we put a little super glue on it, hoping the preacher won't see it, and hoping nobody else will see that I've got this wound inside. Here's the problem. When you don't properly take care of a wound, infection gets in it and starts festering. And all of a sudden, this wound gets bigger than you are because it hurts all the time. Huh? How many knows that when, how many does carpenter work of any type or ever has? You've done any kind of carpenter work? Some of you ladies can even raise your hand around the house. How many's ever really smashed your finger with a hammer? I ain't talking about you pecked it. I mean you smashed her, huh? You ever done that? You ought to do that with about a 24-ounce framing hammer that's got grids on the end of it. Hello? And smash that thing. You know what? That's all you can think about. Hello? And that's all you hit the rest of the day and next week and how for how long. It's all you can't get your mind off of it. It's what's throbbing on you. My wife has been notorious through our marriage finding things in the dark with her little toe. When she finds them in the dark, she wakes everybody up that is around her. And for a while, you know what? Everything is focused on where that pain is. You've allowed that pain to fester in your heart till it's all you think about. You can't hardly function without talking about it. My God, help me. How many would agree with me today or would say to with me that you have a scar on your body somewhere? Because you wouldn't leave it alone. Will you raise your hand? Be honest. I'm going to tell you why some of you can't get over your wound. You won't quit picking at it. I'm just messing around the edge of it. But see, it's there. And you just can't leave it alone. And all of a sudden you're bleeding. And then you think, well, bless God, I'm bleeding. I might as well just yank the whole thing off now. Hello? Huh? And we're relating, aren't we? And it's the same way we do with wounds in our emotion. We pick at them. When you talk to somebody, you can't even talk to them very long without talking about the wound that you've got in your heart. Without talking about the wound that you've got in your life. It's in your conversation. It's in your mind. It's what you think about. Oh, when there is somebody that can heal that wound. There was two neighbors and they hated one another. They really did. They hated one another. They needed to build a fence between their properties, and so the one went to the other and said, you know what, I don't like you and you don't like me and ain't nothing going to change that, but we do need to build a fence here. Let's build a fence together and call a truce, and when we get through, we can go right back to feuding. All right, sounds like a good idea to me. But during the process of building this fence one day, Brother Heath, this man with the hammer, with the axe slipped and severely cut his neighbor on the leg. His neighbor fell over on the ground and started screaming. You did that on purpose. You meant to do that. You've been looking for an opportunity. You've always hated me. You never have liked me. I'm going to tell you, when people have wounds in their heart, everything that happens around them, they relate it to their wound. They meant to do that. They really don't like me. They really don't have the love of Jesus in them. What the real problem is you've got a wound you won't let God deal with. And the neighbor, this man, went to the doctor, and the doctor sewed it up, wrapped it up, told him what to do with the properly care for it. About 2 weeks went by, and the man came back. And he said, I need you to check this. I think something's wrong. And he unwrapped it. and it had red streaks running down into his foot. And the doctor looked at it, shook his head, and looked at the man and said, "Sir, I can save your life, but I can't save your leg from the knee down. I'm going to have to cut it off." That man began to rave. He said, "My neighbor has cost me my leg. I'll never be able to walk again. My neighbor cut me. He meant to do it. He's cost me my leg." When gently that doctor said, "No, your neighbor didn't." And in a rage, he turned and said, "What?" He said, "No, your neighbor didn't cost you your leg." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I'm going to tell you what cost you your leg." He said, "Every time anybody ever come to see you since you've got this wound, you've unwrapped it to show them what your neighbor did to you. And infection got in because you kept showing it off." Oh, God. Why don't you quit picking at it? Why don't you quit mauling it around in your mind? Why don't you quit crying about it? I'm not saying it's nothing to cry about. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, why don't you quit crying in frustration about it and bring it to Jesus and let him heal it? I said, let him heal it. Can you say amen? Because there's a question here in Jeremiah. The question is, it's not the Lord in Zion. I come to tell somebody today, God is still on the throne. He still has the power to change men's lives. I said he still has the power to change men's lives. I've seen people that have been severely wounded emotionally and physically and spiritually. I've seen them come to the altar and I've seen God wrap his balm around them and the healing hand of God get in their heart, and they got up from the altar, and where there was hate there was now love, and where there was a wound there was now healing. I feel like telling this is not really even a part of this, I don't guess. There was a great doctor in New York, one of the top plastic surgeons in New York. He was Italian, and he had been raised down in the Bronx, down in there, in one of the little Italian communities, very poor. He said there was a barber in our community. His name was Cremona. And Cremona, he said, we would be running up and down the street as kids. We was ragged. He said, man, we didn't have any money. We was just, everybody's dirt poor. And he said, Cremona, when things would get slow in his barbershop, he would holler at us out of the door of the barbershop, "Come in, let me cut your hair." And they would say, "Well, Mr. Cremona, we don't have any money." He would say, "Well, I don't need any money." And he, this plastic surgeon said he would set us in the chair, and he said he would cut our hair and tell us about Jesus. The only exposure we got, really, he would tell us about Jesus. He went on, became one of the most skilled plastic surgeons in the state of New York, and that's saying something. One of the very top, if not the top. He found Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and became a Christian. One day at his office in his prestigious place of business, he got a phone call. On the other end, one of his assistants or secretaries took it, but they called him, and he picked up the phone, and it was the wife of Cremona, whom he had not seen in several years. She said, "Great doctor." That's what they called him. "Cremona is dying, and he is asking for you." And he said, "I'll be there as soon as I can be there." He dropped all of his high-paying patients and headed. And he said, "I walked in that little house back there into a bedroom, and there laying on the bed was Cremona, body wasted away." He asked his wife, Cremona did, said, "Will you leave me and the great doctor alone for a moment?" She went out in the hall. He said, "Doctor." He said, "You're a great doctor now." He said, "You take care of
wounds and you take care of blemishes on people, and you're good at it. He said, "Doctor, I'm fixing to go meet Jesus. You know this big mustache I've always wore?" "Yeah, Cremona, I do." He said, "I've always worn it because," he said, "across my upper lip is a bad knife scar that," he said, "I got when I was living in sin." And he said, "It's very bad." And he said, "I've always been ashamed of my life before God, and I've always wore this mustache to cover up that scar." And this may sound weird to you, but it was the way the old man thought. He said, "I'm going to meet Jesus, and I don't want that scar on my face. Will you take it off?" That doctor said tears was running down my face. He said, "And I've been over Cremona, and I began to look." And he said, "After a while, I raised up and I said, 'Cremona, there's not a scar there.'" And he said, "Oh, yes, great doctor, it's always been there. It's very bad. It's right across here." That doctor said, "I looked everywhere, and I couldn't ever find it." And this is what that plastic surgeon said. He said, "You can believe what you want to, but I believe he got so close to God that God took the scar off of him." You say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, hold on. We're talking about Jesus. And the point of that is this. I'm telling you, God has a way to heal you where the scab's gone. God has a way to heal you where the hurt's gone. Hello? God can even heal you where the scar's gone. I'm telling you, God has a way. I can forgive, but I can't ever forget. Hold on. I know of people that have. God has a way to heal you. Jeremiah chapter 30, listen. Verse number 17, this is what I feel like telling you this morning. Look at this. "For I will restore help unto thee, and I will heal thy wounds, saith the Lord." That's not me talking, that's the Lord talking. He has the ability to reach into your heart and to heal the brokenness that is there. Haven't you carried that wound long enough? Haven't you carried that around enough? Why don't you bring it to Jesus? In the New Testament, there was a bunch of broken people that got together. Some of them did not even realize they were broken. But in Luke chapter 5 and verse 17, the very end of that verse says, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." And I'm going to tell y'all something. Listen to me. The power of the Lord is present right now to heal you if you'll let Him. The power of God is here to heal you if you will only let Him. "But preacher, you don't know what they said. You don't know what they did." I don't have to know what they said or did. I don't have to know how you've been treated. All I've got to know is that there is a presence here that can heal your wound. My. You say, "Well, preacher, this is really a weird way to end revival." It's the way I felt like ending it. Telling you there is a power that can heal you. There's people sitting under the sound of my voice right now. You think I'm just preaching to somebody that's lost, but I'm not. I'm preaching to you. You've got wounds. You think you get over them. You think you get beyond them. And then all of a sudden, there they are looming up in your face again. You think spiritually you get beyond it. And then all of a sudden, something happens and you're a little low. And there they are again. But I come to tell you this morning, the presence of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is in this house, and He will heal you if you will let Him, while every head is bowed in the house right now. You've got a choice this morning. You've got a choice. You make a choice whether to let him heal you or not. You have a choice. Will you let him heal you this morning? Every head's bowed and absolutely not one eye in the house is open and nobody's looking around. Would there be anybody while every eye's closed but mine that would say, "Preacher, I don't think anybody really knows," and then it may be that everybody around you knows, "but preacher, I've got a wound that I need the Lord to help me with. Would you slip your hand up?" My God, look. My God. I've got this wound. I can't seem to get over it. I want to. I really do. I'm really tired of carrying it around. I've cried all the hot tears onto my pillow that I can cry, it seems like sometimes. But I need God to heal me this morning. I come to tell you there is a physician waiting at this altar if you'll bring your wound to him. Your husband may not know you got it. Your wife may. It doesn't matter who knows. God knows and you know. Would you bring that to Jesus while every head is still bowed right now? I'm opening these altars right now. The power of the Lord is present to heal you right now. Would you step out? I gave you an invitation. The Lord has given you an invitation to come to this altar right now. It's not a time to play games right now. The healer is here. The balm is here. I'm not worried about what everybody thinks. I'm not worried about what they think about me. I'm not worried about what they're going to think is my problem. What I know is I've got a wound and I want God to touch me today. What I know is I've got something inside of me that's been broke for a long time and I want it to get fixed. I want it to be fixed.
Life doesn't kiss away the pain.
I'm not quite through giving the altar call. There's somebody under the sound of my voice. I felt the Holy Ghost just speak to me. There's somebody under the sound of my voice that you've been wounded by someone very close to you, a brother or a sister. Somebody close. It's family. It's a brother or sister. It's wounded you. And it's been so hard for you to get over. And God wanted me to tell you this morning, he'll heal that wound for you if you'll let him. Is there anybody else that'll come right now? Is there anybody else?
Jesus.
Is there anybody else that'll come right now? Anybody else that'll come right now and say, "You know, I do. I've got this wound."
Jesus.
I've got this. I don't know what y'all feel, church, but I feel the love of God in this house. I feel like God will wrap his arms around you. Is there anybody else before I give a general altar call? Is there anybody else that'll say, "You know what, preacher, I want to come acknowledging to God. God, I got something I want you to heal in me today." Anybody else? All right, I want everybody that wants to be touched by God to come up here and find you a place to pray. Find you somebody to pray with. If you don't have a wound this morning, find somebody. Lay your hands on them and ask God to heal their wound. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. We don't need to know your wound. I don't have to know your wound. You don't need to talk to me about it this morning. But I'll tell you, talk to Jesus about it.
Doesn't kiss away the pain, all the hurts you can't explain. When the world has left you lonely,
preacher, I don't even know how to. I don't even know how to pray about it. Just say, "Lord, you know how I hurt inside. You know what's been done to me. You know I'm not saying you weren't hurt. I'm saying he'll heal your wound
like Jesus." can. No one can give you peace. You cannot understand.